The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host, Chris Capone, joined alongside my co-host once again, Evan Davis, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are baseball's best in 2024. After a stunning 5-0 comeback in Game 5, the LA Dodgers beat the New York Yankees 7-6 to win the World Series in just 5 games. We obviously have a lot to discuss this week, recapping Game 5 as a whole, especially that fifth inning. Where do the Yankees go from here? Just how much is Juan Soto going to demand in free agency? And of course, how does this World Series ring solidify the legacies of Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani? Evan, I just want to ask you first, what was going on in your head during that fifth inning and pretty much all of Game 5?
The Yankees just started mashing. Jack Flaherty throws a meatball on a gold plate right to Aaron Judge, who didn't miss, a 93-mile-an-hour fastball center cut. And then Jazz Chisholm, a couple pitches later, responds with the home run. I'm just like, dang. And then I kept watching, and then the Stanton home runs happens. And I got to be honest, I turned the TV off for a little bit because I was, not only was I upset at the game itself, but it's like, I can't even listen to Joe Davis talk. So I was getting annoyed at my TV for that. I take a half inning break, you know, we regroup, we recouped, you know, no damage is done. The phone's still intact. The computer TV still here. And we watched the game in my room because I was getting a little annoyed. And when Aaron Judge dropped that ball, I didn't realize that that would be the precursor for what was to come. We talked about before the series how many mistakes the Yankees made, but the Guardians made more, which allowed the Yankees to kind of get off the hook. I don't think I've seen a team allow an opponent 6 outs in a World Series game like how the Yankees did it. The Judge one, inexcusable. I know it's his first error of the postseason, but you got to make that catch. The Volpe one, I understand the throw to third base, but it was just a horrible throw. And then the Rizzo one with Gerrit Cole. I mean, I don't even blame Anthony Rizzo. I blame Gerrit Cole. Like, worst case scenario, Rizzo calls you off and he takes it himself to go to the bag at first. But just an epic collapse by the New York Yankees. And I say it's surprising, but at the same time, not, just because when you're under that much pressure, like in your mind, it's like, I got to make the perfect throw. I got to make the perfect catch. But, you know, what a collapse. And this was kind of what the Yankees were like throughout the entire postseason. They just played opponents that were so bad that they didn't make them pay for it.
Yeah, and we look at it where, you know, going into that fifth inning, Gerrit Cole didn't give up a single hit. And then obviously Kike Hernandez starts off the inning with a single, and then it just goes all downhill from there. And it was like, it looked like they were going to get out of it where it was, you know, bases loaded, no out, and then Luck strikes out, Ohtani strikes out, and it's 2 down. And then, like you said, that Gerrit Cole not going to the bag, or Rizzo not going to the bag, and Betts being able to beat it out, it was really the beginning of the end, pretty much. And it was a microcosm of the Yankees season where these little plays that just shouldn't happen for like a really good team should not have these huge mistakes, especially in the postseason, especially in the World Series. And the Yankees just happened to have it come up at the worst possible time for them. So where do the Yankees go from here?
I don't know. I really don't know where they go from here. You know, you look at how many free agents this team has. Obviously, Juan Soto's going to be, you know, the biggest fish on the market. You have Gleyber Torres hitting free agency. Where they go from here, well, first things first is that they need more contact hitters on this team. They have too many guys that are swing and miss. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, to name a few. They need just a contact big hitter. Where that comes from is remain to be seen, whether that's via trades or also, you know, free agency, just to see who's out there.
Moving on, I guess we could talk about the Yankees again more, just with like, what does Juan Soto command from them in free agency. Like, do you think 600 million is the ballpark for Juan Soto right now?
Yeah, I heard like Soto saying he wants the Ohtani 700. I don't see the 700. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a phenomenal player, but like, I think 600 million is probably going to be the ballpark, like somewhere between like 580 and 600.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And I think the Mets, like you said, are probably the biggest suitors for him right now, where it's like the Mets took the Dodgers to six, and it was like,
Well, we punted two games, but
yeah, but they're running Starling Marte in right field.
so there's no
Like,
difference in defense. You're just getting a much better offensive player because they
that's
play
what
the
I'm saying.
same
Yeah,
level of defense.
that's what I'm saying. Like, they have the exact same basically level of defensive like skill, and you could run Juan Soto out there. The thing is, if you get Juan Soto, you're punting Pete Alonso pretty much. Like, there's no shot that the Mets keep both of them or sign one and keep Pete.
Yeah, big meat Pete. My only thing with the Mets is, yeah, like, what do you then do? Because, like, then you're losing a 40 home run first baseman. And I think that's more valuable to have than a Juan Soto because it's very rare to find a power bat at first base. Like, it's really Vladdy, Pete Alonso, Christian Walker, Matt Olson, and I mean, I guess you could say Freddie Freeman, but I would put him like a tier below because like he's more of a contact than a power guy, but he can also just hit 25 home runs. But I would
Yeah.
say those four are in a tier of their own. And obviously it's Juan Soto, but I think value and depth wise, I'd rather have Pete Alonso, like as crazy as that sounds. Because there's just so many more talented outfielders that you could pay less to get. Like, they could go trade for Jorge Soler at this point. Like, if they wanted to, like, what are the Angels going to do with him? Like, go get Soler if you want a right fielder. I mean, he doesn't play great defense, but you could also just put him at DH from time to time. Like, go get Soler because you're going to lose JD Martinez. Like, that's only going to cost you $26 million and you don't have to commit for 13 years.
Yeah. And he could play DH most of the time too. Like, even if you're not too sure about Soler's defense, you could run Soler at DH.
Like, yeah, that's the thing is, well, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to play the outfield if you look at his
Yeah.
defensive numbers. I mean, they are terrible. But that's the thing with Soto is like, look, obviously Ohtani got the stupid contract, but I still think the Mets is going to be the team because let's be real, the Yankees like as a whole choked in the postseason. Like at least the Mets showed you some bit of life with Alonso, Lindor, Vientos, I think is not a fluke. You still have Jesse Winker's a free agent, but I imagine, and I kind of hope that he stays with the Mets because he just feels like he's built for that New York sub-market, if you will, just because the Yankees are the Yankees. But if you keep Winker out there, you have a solid outfield then in terms of offense as well with Winker, Tyrone Taylor, and then if you could get a Soler in that as well, but. You know, it'll be or even Soto, whatever happens.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing about it, where Juan Soto is going to end up commanding a lot. And I think every team is realistically going to offer him a contract. I think the Oakland A's are going to offer him a spicy deal, you know. Be the first Vegas franchise player. The
He's
first
just gonna go to the
Sacramento.
White Sox because
Yeah.
they offered the most money. They offered him a stake of what's it
Ownerships.
called? Lou Malnati's, the
Yeah.
pizza place.
Hey, I'd go there too.
Yeah.
Screw it. I'd go play for the White Sox if I got that.
Yeah.
But I guess last thing I want to talk about is just like the legacies that get affected by this. Like, does this affect, you know, how does this affect Shohei's legacy? Like, is he now viewed as one of, I mean, he was already going to be a three-time MVP, but what do you think, like, long term, this does for him?
Yeah, I know we spent all this time on the Yankees. I want to talk about the actual winners for, you know, little bit here. I mean, you look at, I mean, obviously Ohtani didn't have the best World Series, but then again, he had a partial tear in his shoulder. So I commend him just for even gutting it out. And then you, I don't know if you saw, but like if anyone saw, but like Freddie Freeman was playing through a broken rib.
Rib, yeah.
Obviously, he fractured his hand in St. Louis earlier and in
The bum
October.
ankle.
And then he also had the bum ankle. I'm sorry, he fractured his hand in early August. And then he had the bum ankle at the end of the year against the Padres, and then he fractured his rib. So, like, he's just been, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. There's no way Freddie Freeman is left off the ballot as soon as he's eligible for it. You talk about Mookie Betts and his legacy as well. But Shohei Ohtani, I mean, I always thought he was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I feel like just having a World Series ring, at least one, secures it. I don't think this is going to be the only ring he wins. I see, you know, I think Shohei retires with three World Series, three or four. I think that's fair to say. But then you look at Mookie Betts, three World Series rings, the only active player with three. He's got a boatload of All-Stars, a boatload of Silver Sluggers, a boatload of Gold Gloves. Like, you can make an argument that the top three of the Dodgers lineup is all, they're all going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. Like, how can you make an argument that Mookie Betts is not also going to be a first ballot? Shohei Ohtani's not going to be a first ballot. Like, if it wasn't, obviously, Ohtani, as I said, didn't have the best World Series, but if he doesn't hit that 3-run home run off of Dylan Cease in game one of the NLDS, do the Dodgers even win that series? You know, if he doesn't have the big hit against the Mets in, I want to say game, was it game one? So game one that kind of, yeah, game one when he kind of like solidified that. And even, you know, in game six when he kind of pushed the game away, you know, where are the Dodgers without that as well? So everyone has their moments throughout the postseason. But I mean, yeah, let's talk about the Dodgers, man. World Series.
But yeah, like those top three, and we already knew the talent. Like, that's the reason the move for Shohei to go to the Dodgers was so like huge, because the top three in that order is insane. Like, that is three first ballot Hall of Famers back to back to back, and it's lefty righty lefty. Like, it's the perfect combination of like bats, where it's not just three righties all stacked up, or it's three lefties all stacked up. You have back to back to back, and then even if a lefty does start, you can put Teoscar in in the third spot, have Freddie hit cleanup,
Which
and
is what
none
they
of them,
did.
yeah, and none of them cared about their egos to be like, well, no, I'm Freddie Freeman, I hit third, and no
I'm
one
Gleyber
cared.
Torres. I play second.
Yeah, like no one had that ego. They knew what they wanted to do, to what it took to win,
Yeah.
and that's really what came down to it. And you have three first ballot Hall of Famers all at the top of your lineup, and it's an insane team.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got to get. I've been bashing Dave Roberts for a long time just because I thought the ways that he was managing the postseason was kind of thinking too much, you know, maybe taking a pitcher out too early or too late. But I mean, the way he managed this entire season through all the injuries, you know, when Mookie Betts breaks his wrist in what was that, like in early June, and then like the next day Yamamoto goes down, or Yamamoto went down and then Mookie Betts went down, and then you're kind of just like, holy smokes, what's going on? And then obviously the, you know, the off the field stuff with Freddie Freeman, but even on the field with all the injuries he was dealing with. And then, you know, you lose Clayton Kershaw, and you lose this guy, you lose this guy. But then the trade deadline comes around, and you get Michael Kopech and Tommy Edman. And I remember, you know, when we did that trade deadline show, and I was so happy that we got Michael Kopech, because I was just like, this guy's going to be unreal. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I mean, it wasn't a hot take to say the least, but
Yeah.
I did think, I did love that move when it happened because I knew of what it could be. And just even the way Dave Roberts was able to manage this and the postseason, and to know when to kind of give up on a game. Like, The Dodgers won a World Series with, I'm going to call it five bullpen games, because I'm going to call Game 5's victory a bullpen game just because, Flaherty only got four outs for them. But just the way that he was even, like, Game 2, Landon Knack gives up the grand slam against the Mets, and Dave Roberts was kind of just like, you know what, forget this. Like, I'm not putting in any of my high leverage guys. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So, Brent Honeywell, here, you go for three innings, and then I'll give it to another rookie, so that way game three we can win 8-0, and that's how we respond with our high leverage guys. And then you even look at the situation with the bullpen game. Most managers, you're only down 6-4. That could have been a moment that you bring in a Blake Treinen just to at least keep the game close. And Dave Roberts kind of just said, you know what, my like forget this game, we're up 3-0, who cares. Instead of using Blake Treinen in this situation, I'm going to keep him for the biggest eight outs of his career, and we're going to end up winning the World Series. So I just think Dave Roberts is going into the Hall of Fame as a manager, and he's one of four managers now with multiple World Series rings and 50 plus playoff wins. And just the way he's able to manage a bunch of superstars, which is hard to do. And you said the ego was checked at the door. And I think that was the difference, where other years it felt like it was me, 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 but this year it's like whatever it takes to get that ring.
Yeah, it just really felt like everyone was buying in. And, I think one of the biggest unsung heroes of this whole thing is Teoscar Hernandez, where, he was in talks to sign with the Red Sox, where it was a 2-year deal worth 25 million. And the Dodgers said, okay, well, then we'll just give you 1 year worth 25 million. And obviously, he takes that to get the guaranteed money right now and have a better chance to win a World
He
Series.
also
And
has deferred money.
yeah. But Teoscar, what a player. And he's gonna get a bag this offseason now just because of, obviously the 33 home runs in the regular season and the big moments in the postseason too, where the grand slam in the game four against the Padres, or not game four, game three. That was a big moment, and he had a great postseason for the Dodgers. And he's going to get paid a lot of money.
Love Teoscar, man. Like, what a locker room guy that is. I mean, kudos to him. He's going to get a huge bag. Like, he is going to get a large. I mean, this is honestly his final payday, most likely. Like, he's currently right now 32 years old. Happy belated birthday last month. But he's a guy that strikes out a lot, but when he connects on a pitch, like he connects, and a career high in home runs this year. He was really good in the postseason. You mentioned the grand slam, but even the game five against the Padres, the home run off Yu Darvish to just give the Dodgers that extra bit of cushion. I could totally see, I could totally see a 4-year, $115 million contract for Teoscar. And I really hope the Dodgers keep him. He said in his post-game interviews after the World Series that his priority is to stay with LA. If they give him a contract, if the money is right, he'll stay. But the fact that he wants to stay, I think the Dodgers just even owe it to Teoscar to keep him with this group.
I really see one team that's, I think that the Red Sox are going to run back and try and, give that money to Teoscar that they originally wanted to. And I think they might give him that big deal because Tyler O'Neill they can get rid of and put Teoscar in the outfield there instead because it's what they wanted. Once the Dodgers pivoted, or once the Dodgers got Teoscar, they pivoted and went for Tyler O'Neill. And it
They
was like,
traded for him,
yeah. And I think that's kind of the thing that's going to happen again this upcoming year, where I think Teoscar is the most, like, obviously he's the most likely to leave of everyone on the team right now.
I've heard people saying that, like, every Braves fan that I've talked to is under the impression that Max Fried is going to the Dodgers just because Harvard Westlake guy, born and raised in that area, obviously, You've seen the family connections with the Dodgers with Tyler Glass now and now with Jack Flaherty. Obviously, Jack Flaherty is a free agent. I don't want to keep him, but you know what? He could do his thing. I'd like to have Max Fried as another lefty, especially now that Kershaw's kind of deceased. But I really would love to keep Teoscar. You know, as much as I hate how he swings at a slider 500 feet off the plate, you know, he started the sunflower seed celebration and, you know, it's Teo.
Well, he had that before with the Jays, the sunflower seeds. It's
Yeah, I
just,
know. So now he brought it to the better team.
yeah.
He actually got to do it with this team.
It's just, but yeah, Flaherty's another person too, where you talk about it, you say you don't want him back in the Dodger blue. I think he's gonna go back to Detroit. The way he was talking about Detroit the whole year, I think he's honestly gonna go back.
Could you? I mean, I could see that. It's just, I mean, Detroit is a hitter-friendly ballpark because in straightaway center, the ball just stays in the field.
And
Because
pitcher
every
friendly.
what did I say? Hitter
You said
friendly?
hitter friendly.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. It's pitcher friendly because the ball stays in the field. I mean, look, as stupid as it sounds, the Dodgers do need pitching because their entire starting rotation is on the IL. You know, Gavin Stone is not going to pitch next year at all. River Ryan's done. I'm sure Emmett Sheehan's going to come back. I'd love to see him. Tyler Glasnow is obviously going to come back, but he's not really reliable. Like, I'm sure the Dodgers are going to do what they did last year and just stock up on pitching because they're going to need it. Andrew Friedman said that he's going to talk with the trainers and kind of figure out like what's going on, that it's only our team that it's happening to. But I think and I hope Teoscar stays because he just makes the like he makes the lineup that much deeper. And but if he does leave, is it the end of the world? No, because then you have Andy Páez, who is a left fielder that actually needs to play left field because he can't play center field. So if Teo does leave, at least you have Andy Páez, who I think needs consistent at bats in order to be a guy that you have on your starting lineup for cheap. Because at the end of the day, you can't pay everyone 10 plus million. Like Kike was a 1 year flyer deal. Andy Páez is obviously still in arbitration. Tommy Edman's still in arbitration. The Dodgers are probably going to pick up that contract. You need guys on smaller deals to contribute. And I think Andy Páez, if he can stay in left field, you know, maybe that's actually a gift. If the Dodgers got a World Series out of Teoscar, you can't ask for much more. Now go get your money. I'm sure Teo's thinking the same thing. Like, I got my ring. Now all that's left to do is get that big payday.
That'll just about do it for this episode of the Breaking News Bears podcast. I once again want to thank my co-host, Evan Davis. And I once again want to thank you guys, the listeners, for coming in and listening to another episode and having to deal with Evan Davis all time talking about the Dodgers. We'll see you all again next week talking about more about the offseason. Thank you for listening to Breaking News Bears.